Rest of that. Alrighty, let's take our Bibles if you would. Let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5 again. Said we're going to be there for a while. We're going to be once again looking at the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll begin reading in verse 13. And then we're going to read down. It says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be consumed, and be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the opportunity to preach it, and Lord, and to hear it. And we just pray, Lord, you'd help us to make the most of our time here this evening. Father, we pray for all those who might tune in via the live stream. Just pray you'd bless them. Father, if there's one in our midst or online who's lost, we pray for their salvation. Lord, you know every heart and you know what we need. And Lord, there's nothing that's hid to you. So help us to just be honest and humble ourselves before you and receive the word of God with meekness as we ought to. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word and bless the people. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Galatians 5:22 and through 24 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." In other words, if you're Christ, the flesh is to be crucified, to put to death with the affections. That's the legitimate desires. In other words, all the things we love, family, friends, all those things, life, whatever it is, we're supposed to love God more. It says in the book of Psalms, "Thy love," I believe it's Psalm 63, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." All right, so, and we're not to put anything before God that's idolatry. So we crucify the affections and the lust, the legitimate desires and the illegitimate desires. God comes before all of that. And walking in the Spirit is what helps us to get rid of those illegitimate desires and conquer even our affections if we need to. And he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and we've talked about that, he doesn't say fruits, plural, he says fruit, singular, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we've looked at love, we've looked at joy, we've looked at peace. Now tonight we're going to look at long-suffering. We're going to look at long-suffering tonight. And when you look at this word long-suffering, it's a word we don't use. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he's giving definition of love or description of love, God's love, or what's called their charity. Now, the world has taken the word charity and made it giving to a cause. That's not charity. It could be if it's given in the right heart, right attitude, right spirit. If it's given for love of God, then yes, it would apply. But it says about charity, about God's love, charity suffereth long and is kind. And it's just an amazing thing. The Bible talks about God's love toward us. The passage we have up there says He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He also says in another place, but after that, the love and kindness of God appeared. All right? And he talks about God's kindness, and those things we'll be talking about. But when we talk about long suffering, there's another word in the Bible that is called forbearance or forbearing. And those are very closely associated. Forbearing just means being willing to put up with people. And God puts up with a lot, doesn't He? Yes, He does. Out of mankind, out of even believers, doesn't He? And so God is long-suffering to usward. And the Bible talks about God all the way through the Old Testament when we talk about this. And when we talk about God being long-suffering, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the attributes of God being manifested in the believer. God's love, God's joy, God's peace. And here, God's long-suffering. And so that's what we're talking about in Exodus 34. You can write these verses down and go back and look at them, because I'm going to run through them. But Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's what he declared to Moses. In Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. You know, God's long-suffering, but He's also just. And our sins impact our children. And all you have to do is look at mama and daddy, and you'll find every child in the world today has a sob story about, oh, the things that mama and daddy did. Even the best of us, they have the best parents in the world. They leave behind something that their children, that irks their children, hurts their children, because we're people. And it's our sins. They go down. They impact our kids. And they impact our grandchildren. They impact our great-grandchildren. And our great-great-grandchildren. Sin doesn't just stop with one generation. The cause and the effect of sin, it doesn't stop in that way. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Jeremiah 15:15. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. He's asking people, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? There's a time when he's talking about Pharaoh here in particular, but there's a time in people's life when they continually reject the mercy of God. There's deadlines. God says no more. But He's long-suffering, isn't He? I can tell you, if you're lost today, I guarantee you one thing. I know God's long-suffering by one thing. You're still breathing. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You're alive today because God is merciful and long-suffering. I was an affront to God for the first 23 years of my life. And I deserved to go to hell. I didn't think I deserved to go to hell, but I did. It wasn't until I agreed with God and said, yes, God's just, I'm the wicked one, and I deserve the judgment of God, I deserve hell, and I put my faith and trust in Christ. My life didn't change till that. Till I trusted Christ as my Savior. And that's the simple fact, but God was long-suffering. That's an amazing thing to think about God's long-suffering in that regard. 1 Timothy 1:16, the Apostle Paul talking about himself. He was a murderer, right? He was a blasphemer. He was injurious. He was. He talked about himself. He said he was the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But in 1 Timothy 1:16, God had the apostle write this: howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The longsuffering of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Which in sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Noah, his name was a prophecy, but there was a prophecy before Noah. There was a son of Noah's great-great-great-grandfather, Enoch. His son was named Methuselah, and Methuselah's name says when he dies, judgment comes. That's what his name means. When he dies, it comes forth, if you will. There's a lot of ways to think about it. And Methuselah lived 969 years, longer than any man recorded in the Scripture or anywhere else. He lived 969 years. And if you work out the genealogy and you work out the years, you find out that Methuselah died the year of the flood. And Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. Lamech was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And God gave them 969 years. And He gave them. The Bible said Enoch believed that so much and walked with God for 300 years. After that he begat Methuselah, and was not, because God took him. That was the long suffering of God. It's shown out in the Bible. It's just amazing. In our verse that we have up on the screen, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are people that say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation of the earth. Oh, you people have been saying Jesus is coming for all this time. He ain't come yet. No, but it says when He comes, behold, I come quickly. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, Jesus is coming soon. We don't know that. But we know He's coming quickly when He comes. That's true. Now, we can look at the signs and we can look at these things and we can say, it's got to be getting near. But we don't know the day or the hour, do we? And so why does He tarry? Because He's long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter is telling us through the Scriptures, God is telling us an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, the fact that God tarries shows His mercy and shows His promises, because He promised to be long-suffering. He said, "Count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." So Paul Peter's referring to Paul and saying, "Hey, remember the things that Paul wrote to you about God's long-suffering." And God is long-suffering. The only reason that anybody's walking around today is because God's long-suffering. Because God suffers long and He's kind. And He's merciful. And that is, this idea of long-suffering is an attribute of our God. And when we are filled with the Spirit, or filled with the Holy Ghost, or walking in the Spirit, or led of the Spirit, it all means the exact same thing. The Spirit of God has control. We've yielded ourselves to Him. Alright? When we're filled with the Spirit, God's long-suffering is manifest in our life and in our behavior. We're told to do that. And notice that, once again, we go back to this and we have long-suffering in waiting for our Lord, right? It's long-suffering toward God. We don't sit there and start whining and saying, "Well, why didn't God just come? Why'd God allow this to happen? Why'd God?" No, we understand and we live by faith and we understand that, hey, God's got His own plan. He's in charge, not us. And there's nothing that we go through that He doesn't go through with us. There's no temptation that we go through that our Savior hadn't already gone through. He's able to help us to go through that. And so when it comes to looking at the world and all of this, we're long-suffering toward God. And not only that, we're long-suffering toward our brethren. A lot of churches break up. And you got a lot of denominations today, don't we? And we've got a lot. Do you know where all this stuff come from? Because people wouldn't long suffering with one another. You know, people sit there and they disagree on a doctrine, and that's fine. There's going to be disagreements. As the Bible even tells us, there'll be disagreements like that. But you know what they do? They swell up like a poison pup, and they won't talk it out, and they won't go let the Bible be their authority. And so they run off and start their own new thing. And that's where a lot of cults come from. And that's where a lot of the schisms and divisions come from. And don't get me wrong, I don't have a problem with anybody standing on what they believe. If you say you believe something, I'd expect you to stand on it. But when you won't even open the Bible and won't even talk about it, and you can't talk about it without getting all mad and upset and angry, something's wrong with that. You know, we have a world that today. That today, if you disagree with anything that's the prevailing wisdom, you hate. I mean, you can't even disagree with somebody without hating. And I sat there and I talked to a fellow one time, and he was sitting there. We were talking about some things that the Bible said was sin, and he didn't like it. And I asked him, and he got all upset with it and just started, he kind of got a little abusive. And I asked him, I said, "Why do you hate me?" And he accused me of hate. And I asked him, I said, "Why do you hate me?" He said, "I don't hate you." I said, "Well, yes, you do." He said, "No, I don't." I said, I disagree with you, and you accuse me of hating you. So therefore, if you disagree with me, it must be because you hate me. But that's the way our world is today. But you know where that started? It started in churches. The devil getting in churches. And he's been at it for a long time. And so you have a bunch of schisms. And the only way you can make everybody happy is if you just say, "Everything's okay." Isn't that what the sodomites want us to do? Oh, any old type of behavior is okay. Except taking a stand for righteousness. And that's where the churches are today. Oh, you don't be critical about my doctrine. You know, we can agree to disagree and any old thing's okay. You're supposed to say it's all right. Well, I can't say it's all right if the Bible doesn't say it's all right. Can you? And I wouldn't expect you to say to me that if you think I'm wrong on what I believe in the Bible, I wouldn't expect you to say to me that you think it's all right. It's okay. We don't care. I mean, it doesn't bother me if the Catholic Church calls me a heretic. Now, they'll come out and say, oh, they don't believe you're a heretic, but yeah, they do. If you look at their documentation, it does. You know, Vatican II didn't rescind any of the other councils. They stopped calling us heretics and started calling us separated brethren, but all the curses from the Council of Trent are still there. They didn't rescind any of them. I'm just going by what I read of Catholic history. And I understand what people... And I'm not saying that Catholics aren't sincere or anything like that. But just because I disagree with their doctrine doesn't mean I hate the people. I'd be happy to sit down with the Bible and talk it out. I talked to a Catholic priest one time, and he got mad at me to shut the door in my face. We were soul winning. Because I asked him point blank, I said, sir, I said, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And he said, and Sister Denise is my witness, he said, nobody can know that. And I took out my Bible and I said, hey, that's not true. This is what the Bible says. He shut the door in my face. I can't argue with that, but I wasn't trying to be. I wasn't being ugly, wouldn't be unkind. I understand. You know, I don't expect everybody to know the Bible. And the simple fact is that I talked to him. I tried to talk to him about it, but he wouldn't talk about it. Now, I've talked to a lot of different people. I've talked to a lot of people with different ideas. And it's very hard to get somebody to just sit down and talk about it. Why? Because people aren't long-suffering. That idea of long suffering is gone. That idea of putting up one another. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, Brother Paul says, or God says to Brother Paul, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience. As a pastor, I'm exhorted in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, one thing about being a pastor is you got people of all levels of spiritual maturity. From the little baby to the person who's been saved for 20 years, and sometimes they're one and the same. From newborn babes in Christ and people that never grew up. And then you got spiritual folks, and then you got people that, like I said, you have wrong ideas. People come from another area and they have a different doctrine, and you have to sit down and be patient with them. And you have to be long-suffering. And a lot of times a pastor preach, I've talked to many a pastor, and one of the biggest things about preachers that I've had in fellowshipping with preachers is a lot of times when we get to talking, they're just so frustrated because they're trying to be faithful to teach the Word of God, and they feel like they're just beating their head against a wall because they just, nobody seems to get it. It doesn't seem to stick. So what do? You be long-suffering. You keep preaching. You keep teaching. That's all you can do. That's why a preacher needs to have the Spirit of God in control. A lot of preachers quit because of that very point. They quit because of it. I know there are preachers that quit because they shouldn't have been preachers in the first place. I understand that. I know there are preachers that go off doctrinally and they should have never been preachers to begin with. You know, Scripture says about people who go out and do false doctrine and become antichrist or whatever the case may be. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have remained with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. All right? So that's in the Bible. Clearly. Some people are false preachers. And we're warned about those. But there are some people that just quit on God because they never get this idea about being long-suffering. There's one thing that I'm absolute sure that I've known in my life, and I know one thing. In the times when I've been discouraged, it's getting on my knees before God and just saying, Lord, You're in control. And I'm just going to keep on doing what You told me to do, and I just start seeking God for guidance. And you know, it's amazing how God gives you the desire to go on. Every preacher gets discouraged. We're people. Well, if we get in the flesh, it's hard, it's easy to not be long suffering, isn't it? But we're supposed to be long suffering, and a pastor is supposed to be what? An example to the flock. So we're supposed to be long suffering when we preach the word. If we go to the book of Ephesians, it says in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. If you go to the book of Ephesians, it tells us that we're supposed to, if you would go to Ephesians chapter 4, and since we're right there, I'll just go to it. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He talks about that. And of course, we're told to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to be long-suffering. Ephesians 6:9, then if we're in authority, he says, and your masters do the same things under there, forbearing, threatened, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respecter of persons with him. In Colossians chapter 1, it says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing that we, in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, plural. Amen. And that was because of the long suffering of God. In due time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible talks about that. The long-suffering of God. You know, the amazing thing about it is man and the devil was trying to destroy the lineage of the Messiah for thousands of years. But God, in His long-suffering, He never allowed it to happen, did He? You can go through the Bible and you can find places where the devil tried to use men to destroy the lineage of the Savior so that there would be no Savior born. And he couldn't do it. Think about all the men just following the devil and trying to oppose God's salvation throughout the years, and God didn't say, all right, fine, you don't want it? That's what we'd been, right? You don't want it? I'll take it away. You can all die and go to hell. But God didn't do that, did He? Wow. That's long suffering. And I know we go out and try to witness to folks. We got lost family members we witness to. We talk to people and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to do it. And we say, well, good enough for you. So we just want to quit talking to folks. No, don't ever do that. We want to quit praying for folks. Don't ever do that. I'm glad people didn't stop praying for me. You know, it's an amazing thing when you look at what God's done and you look at the mercy of God. But we're supposed to be long-suffering that way in all our things. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, when we talk about being long-suffering toward God, that's a matter of faith, isn't it? That's a matter of believing God and saying, all right, I know what it looks like, but I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to trust God. And when we, and it's a matter of love toward God. God has taken care of me. There was an old time preacher by the name of Polycarp back in the first century that they came and they put him up before the magistrates, and they took him up there and they threatened him, and they said that they were going to kill him if he didn't renounce Christ. And he said, 86 years have I served him, and he hath done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme the King that saved me? That's the type of idea there, that long-suffering. He's about to give his life. And they threaten him with wild beasts. They threaten him with beheading. They threaten him with fire. They finally tried to burn him at the stake. It took two or three times. Imagine how a fellow suffers like that. But he was willing to do that. Because he believed. He had respect unto the promise. Just like Brother Moses, who endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then having long suffering toward our brothers and sisters. And realizing we're all made out of the same chunk of dirt. There's not one of us. I'm not better than you because I'm a pastor. That's just stupid. I'm no better than anybody else. A lot of times we quit on people and we get mad at folks and we have factions and everything in the church. We don't take the time. Part of being long-suffering toward your brethren and toward one another is doing the things that Jesus said when there's a problem to fix it. You know, there is a time for church discipline, but the goal is to get things patched up before you have to have church discipline, isn't it? There's a time when you have to say to somebody who wants to live in open sin and won't repent, you're no longer welcome here until you repent. We're not going to fellowship with you until you repent and get this right with God. There's a time for that. But God gave us things to do that we could do before we ever got there, didn't He? To go and take and tell your fault between you and your brother, then take two or three witnesses. If he won't hear that, then bring him before the church. And if he won't hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican, right? So there's several things that we're told to do. We can go through there and we can see the requirements for church discipline. We also see the requirements for the forbearance and the long suffering of one another. But no, we just get worldly. We swell up and get mad and upset and never get anything right. Then we wonder why churches are dying on the vine. We wonder why the world looks at us and say, well, they ain't no different than us. Being long-suffering. Being long-suffering toward the world, like I said. Being willing to keep giving them the gospel. I don't care how many times you say, well, they must be a bunch of reprobates. Well, they might be, but you can't see their heart. Only God can. You would have looked at me while I was growing up and you'd have seen the things that I did in my life and you would have said, he is a reprobate. There ain't no hope in heaven for him. I'm glad I had a great aunt that didn't believe that. She kept praying for me. I'm sure there are other folks that prayed for me, but it was just such a blessing when I found that she'd been praying for me to get saved all my life. That was such a blessing to me. You looked at me and you said, that fella ain't got a prayer. Oh, yes, he did. I had me a prayer. I may have had more than one, but I definitely had one. I wasn't doing the praying. Somebody was praying for me. Long-suffering. We're going to keep up doing it, regardless of what you see. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way God is. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if God's long-suffering, we can be. I mean, I don't know if anybody's a reprobate or not. That'll all bear itself out. Right? But that's God's business, not mine. But God even deals with those people. Talk about Pharaoh. Pharaoh reached across the line, didn't he? And God said, finally, okay, I'm going to use you to show my glory. He said, you've made yourself a vessel fitted for destruction, but I'm going to use you. And God was long-suffering with him, wasn't he? How many chances did Pharaoh get? God was long-suffering with him. And we're supposed to be long. Well, how do you be long-suffering? By yielding yourself to the Spirit of God. It's the only way. Because this is one of the attributes of God himself. This is the character of God we're talking about. And the Holy Spirit is God and He dwells in us. And when we walk in the Spirit, what does the Bible say? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. So there's a battle going on. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one to another. If you yield to the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you yield to the flesh, you will not please God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And it behooves us to just learn to say yes to God. We spend so much time analyzing things. You know, when I've often used the idea of yielding to the Spirit and talking to people, I've often used this idea. When I was lost and I was out there and my buddies come up to me and say, hey, let's go, grab a beer. Or they say, here's a beer. Here's some dope. Here's this. You know, I didn't sit there and think, man, if I do that, what are the consequences going to be? I didn't do that. I just said, yeah. They come up to me and say, hey, let's go try to get us a couple women. Yeah. I didn't do that. And then the Spirit of God says, tell that person about Jesus. And we say, oh, he's scary. We come up with reasons why not to do it, don't we? And as we yield ourselves to the flesh, we're to yield ourselves to the Spirit. That's what happens. That's what we have to learn to do. You know, a lot of times we want to go through the idea of praying, and it's good to have a set time to pray. It's good to have a time where you spend time with God, make time for God. That's a good thing. But sometimes we rest on that, and then the rest of the time, we wouldn't pray a lick if the Spirit of God told us it's time to pray for somebody. You know, and it's not hearing a voice. I know people in the Bible have heard a voice, but I don't need to hear a voice for God to speak to my heart about something. It's just an understanding. You know, if I'm walking along and I'm walking toward the wall, I don't sit there and think in my mind and hear a voice in my mind. You have to turn because you're about to run into the wall. I see the wall, I understand, and I turn. Right? God's Spirit speaks to my heart, to my spirit, to my conscience, and I'm supposed to turn. I'm supposed to follow. I'm supposed to lead. I read something in the Word of God and I'm supposed to set my heart to say, this is the way, by God's grace, I'm going to walk in. Jesus said about the Holy Ghost, He said that the Comforter, when He's come, He said, He'll guide us into all truth. He said, He'll take of mine and shall show it unto you. He said, He will glorify me. And He also said, He will bring to remembrance whatsoever things I have told you. And I've said this about 1,000 times. If you don't know the Bible, you can't remember what you've never been exposed to. And so you handicap, when you don't study the Word of God, you handicap the Spirit of God from being able to remind you of the Word of God to help you through your life. But when we yield ourselves to the Spirit, this fruit is manifest. But we got to get past the flesh, don't we? We've got to crucify the flesh. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. In other words, we have to put it to death. We have to say, I don't live to the way I feel. I live to my Savior. I live to my God's will. That's what I live to. How I feel doesn't enter into it. And too often that's where we fail, isn't it? We get sidetracked because of how we feel. And that hamstrings us. But I want to say to you tonight, if you'll yield to the Spirit, it will bring out long suffering in you as a Christian. It will increase your faith and your willingness to wait on God. To trust Him. It will increase your ability to be long-suffering and forbearing with your brothers and sisters and not give up on them. And it will increase your ability to not give up on a lost and dying world that needs to hear the gospel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out the service tonight. Father, we thank You for all You've done and Your kindness and Your mercy. We know that You're long-suffering toward us. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that we ourselves can, by the work of Your Spirit, bear that fruit of long-suffering, that attribute of Your character, that we can become that type of person if we'll just yield ourselves and be filled with the Spirit. Lord, help us to just realize that it's possible for us. And thank You, Lord, that You've made it possible. Without You, it wouldn't be possible. Without Your Spirit dwelling in us, it would not be possible. Father, there are many people who may even name the name of Christ and they're not born again. And You've been long-suffering with them, and I pray for their souls right now. Just as I pray for this church and the believers here and the believers everywhere, Lord, the people that truly have trusted Christ as their Savior. I pray for them to learn to just walk in the Spirit. So that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but Lord, I pray for those that are lost, even if they're religious, I just pray for them that they'd see that their only hope is to be born again. They need to trust Christ as their Savior. That they'd see that He's their only hope, that He paid the penalty for their sins, and there's nothing they can add to that, nothing they can take away from it. That when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Sat down on the right hand of God the Father, and He's there now. And Lord, He's the only Savior. So I pray tonight that they trust Christ as their Savior. They just humble themselves and see themselves what they are, sinners needing a Savior, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, help them to see how long-suffering you've been with them, how long you've waited for them to just humble themselves and admit that they need Jesus Christ and He is their only hope, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto you but by Him. And Father, help us who believe, help us to allow your Spirit to lead. Help us to follow. Help us to be filled with the Spirit so that we can be long-suffering as we ought to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.